This Monday.com ad was created by a team of people and AI agents. The agents wrote the copy and managed the timelines, while our human creative director made sure it all made sense. Easy. Create your own AI agent today on Monday.com.
Hello, and welcome back to the new episode of It's a Postman. So it's again a special episode for coronavirus times, through these distressed times, through these tough times for all of us, where we are completely, continuously bombarded, with horrifying news, with news like, you know, maps showing that none of the countries are, you know, pardoned from the coronavirus. Then cases of coronavirus outside China, in different countries, tens of thousands of people getting affected one single day. People dying, schools closing, stock markets tumbling, people losing money, jobs. And it's just chaos. It's just distress every single place. And I can understand. It's tough times. We all know these are tough times. But they are out of our control. For a common human person, common human being, like you and I, who are sitting at home, we cannot do anything other than controlling our emotions and not letting it be contagious, because fear is as contagious as a disease, if not more. So we can take care of that restlessness, that anxiety within us, and try and be calm, and also try and show compassion as an act, doing acts of kindness, right? And these two are very interrelatable, according to science. So if we show compassion and if we do some acts of kindness, it will help boost our immunity. It will help lower our blood pressure. It will help us. So, and the other person who is at the receiving end of it. So I'm going to be talking a couple of topics today, like compassion and meditation, which have shaped me, which has helped me grow, which has helped me be more calm and in my life in normal circumstances. So I'll be sharing a few things with you. And if you can stick around till the end, I'll be doing a couple of minutes of loving and kindness meditation, which is a very helpful skill that we can practice to calm ourselves, to center ourselves, to balance ourselves. Now, there's a professor of psychology at Yale University called Laurie Santos, who has started a podcast called Happiness Lab, and who has also started a wonderful course called Psychology and Good Life, which became a major hit at Yale University, where thousands of people, where she thought only five or six people, students will enroll. It ended up having thousands of students enrolling for that, getting that response, amazing response from students. She put that course for free online at Coursera.org if you want to check it out. It's amazing. It's a beautiful course. It tells you real life skills on how to take care of your happiness. Now, on one of her podcast episodes, she has a guest called David Destone. He's a professor of psychology at Northeastern University in the US, and he directs the social emotions group in his university. Now, he is an expert in compassion. He's an expert in many other areas, but he's an expert in compassion. And he talks about how compassion can help boost our immunity systems. I'm trying to read an excerpt from his theory paper where he discusses the difference between compassion and empathy. He goes on to saying that before we dwell into these into this issue, we need to take a pause to clarify terms, both within and across the neural and behavioral sciences. The term empathy has been used loosely. For some, it refers to the ability to intuit what other people are feeling. For others, it reflects emotional contagion. And for still others, it captures a discrete emotional experience meant to motivate altruistic action. And as one might imagine, such varying uses can be problematic. Depending on the definition employed, empathy could simultaneously serve as a cause, mediator, and outcome in some models of pro-social behavior. For example, an ability to intuit another's suffering might lead to a sense of suffering in oneself that, in turn, might evoke an effective response meant to address the other person's suffering. To remedy this issue, David Destone endorses, and here utilizes the use of the term compassion to refer to a feeling arising from witnessing of another individual's suffering that subsequently motivates an effort to help. So what he's trying to basically say is compassion evokes an action to serve others. Now this leads to an interesting conversation that Dr. Laurie Santos, who I was talking to about earlier in her podcast, with her student, who started a volunteer group called The Invisible Hands in New York. Same as a lot of organizations that have started within our country in India, in various places. If you want to look up, please go online and look up for these volunteer groups. They are amazing. So in this particular case, her student has started this Invisible Hands in New York, where he and volunteers together would deliver groceries to the most needed, like people who are very aged, who cannot get out of their houses. Some of them are paralyzed. Some of them have other physical attributes that they cannot go out and fend for themselves. And he says that there are so many people who need help. And during these times, everybody is just told to stay at home and do nothing. Be a hero by doing nothing. Everybody wants to help, but they just don't know how. And this kid has started an amazing volunteer group where now he has thousands of volunteers delivering groceries and even starting up a conversation before going to that person's place. And this also helps in taking care of the loneliness of that person, because in these times, let's face it, people are feeling lonely. People are feeling left out because of the social distancing. So having these conversations are very helpful. So what I took out of this is, if we want to help, there are many ways to help. We can go online, search for groups, search for such volunteering groups, and ask them what they need. Instead of starting a new volunteering group by ourselves, we can look up online, call them up, text them, email them, asking them that you are there to help. How can you help? Or donate. If you cannot help otherwise, donate. I recently read a news where an elderly woman, teacher, donated 1 lakh rupees for this cause. She is 80 plus years old since she was a teacher, and from her pension, she donated 1 lakh rupees. So there is no end to how you can help if you want to help. And when you do that act of kindness, it not only helps the other person who is in need, it helps you in boosting your own immunity. And you know what it also helps? It ensures that that kindness goes to the next person. So it creates a sort of a cyclical chain that keeps on going and going further. So it's three beautiful things that come out of act of kindness and being compassionate: as your immunity gets boosted, the person who's getting the help gets emotional boost, and also that person will now do another kind of kindness to another act of kindness to another person, and so on, builds a chain reaction. This brings me to a quote by His Holiness Dalai Lama, who says that compassion is not a luxury, it is a necessity for human survival. We all need to be compassionate to urge the other person in order to help one another. Only then we can collectively come out as a champion. It's not only health frontline workers, as health workers, who are supposed to do their duty. We as common people, we as citizens, also need to do something. And that something is up to individual on how you want to use your time and energy in doing that. So another important point that comes out of this is that compassion that comes out will come out only when you are calm and composed. And when you're anxious, you won't think about other person. You're only thinking about what will happen in the future. That is imaginary. So when you calm yourself down, when you are composed, when you are balanced, then you can see clearly and you can try and think about the other person. Now, how can you do that? You can try meditation that helps you calm, that helps you break the circuit of non-stop thoughts of future that is troubling you right now by doing breathing exercises. Now, there are tons of studies that say meditation rewires your brain. It deals with the part of your brain that deals with stress, attention regulation, boost immunity, and lower the blood pressure. Dan Harris, now he is a correspondent for ABC News, an anchor for Nightline, and co-anchor for the weekend edition of Good Morning America. He has written a book called 10% Happier. He has a podcast by 10% Happier. So he's got he started talking about the power of meditation. He talks about the importance of meditation by writing a book, talking about whenever he gets an opportunity, because he believes in it, because it has helped him when he was anxious and when he was going through depression. And meditation, doing 5 minutes, 10 minutes of meditation has helped him. And now he's written books and he talks about it whenever he gets an opportunity. Now, if you are someone who has tried meditation, Dan Harris brings out a beautiful parallel. He says, doing meditation is like holding a live fish in your hand. You know, if you sit with your thoughts for like 5 minutes, one thought goes to the other, your plan for the day, what do you want to buy, what do you want to watch, what are you going to wear, what are you going to work, what are you going to, your project deadlines, every single thing, the thoughts don't stop. So to stop the thought process, to think about your breath is equivalent to holding a live fish in your hand. It is so slippery. It is so difficult to do, sit with your thoughts. Now, there are studies that say that meditation will help you 10%, become 10% happier, right? Or become a little better in balancing your thoughts and everything. But there are no studies, there are no scientific proofs that it will remove all your problems. Meditation does not remove your problems. Meditation helps you become more balanced, resilient, and thoughtful in the face of life problems. Now, if you practice meditation for a few weeks, you'll start to notice your thought patterns. You'll start to notice your embedded behaviors within you. You gain much control over your thought processes, over how to see and what to see in front of you, and what to give more importance to, right? You'll find loopholes that brings in these anxiety strains, that brings in these depression strains. And you will be able to understand them and notice them and take corrective actions. Now, he says it is a very powerful skill when we face an anxious thought. But we have all seen meditation as someone like who is in robes, and we criticize them. But try it for yourself before you judge other people. And there are many online forums that talk about meditation. There are free YouTube videos online. You can go check them out. Try for yourself, and then you can make your own conclusions whether or not meditation is for you. So, speaking of meditation, and like I promised, I'm going to do a couple of minutes meditation with you, which is called Loving and Kindness Meditation. Before moving on to that, I would want you to pause this audio right now. Go find a comfortable place to sit, whether at your home or office, wherever you are. Just pause and I'll start. Now that you have taken a comfortable position, take a deep breath. And when you're releasing it, release any sort of tension or stiffness in your muscles, from your neck, from your shoulders, from your upper torso, or from your legs, from your arms, from your face. Take another deep breath, and when you're releasing, just relax. Just follow my voice. Take one more deep breath and make any final adjustments in your body. Now, I want you to imagine a very favorite person of yours. He can be or she can be your partner, a parent, a very close friend. Visualize them in front of you and repeat these four statements after me. May you be happy. May you be safe. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Now think of another close person. If you have too many to choose from, consider yourself lucky. Think of another person who's very close to you and repeat these four statements after me. May you be happy. May you be safe. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Now, visualize yourself in front of you. A selfie that you have taken or any picture of you that is in front of you. And repeat these four statements after me. You're saying it to yourself. May you be happy. May you be safe. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Now visualize a person who you haven't spoken to or who has done something wrong, unappreciable things in the past. Visualize that person in front of you and repeat these four statements after me. May you be happy. May you be safe. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Now think of a community. Doctors, health workers, frontline workers, daily wage laborers, volunteers, anybody, any community that you can relate to. And repeat these four statements after me. May you be happy. May you be safe. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Now, whenever you're comfortable, gradually open your eyes. This is the introduction to loving kindness meditation. What it does is it replaces the negative thoughts for anybody that you have with kindness and with love. This helps boost your happiness. This helps boost your mood, and it makes you 10% happier. Thanks for listening. Take care.